This maimer was recited by the Rebbe on Matzoi Shabbos Kedesh of Parshas Miketz, which was the eighth night of Chanukah, same way it is this year. The year was 1985. Vayei Mashmini Nosi. Each day of Chanukah, we read a portion from the Torah. It speaks about the offerings that were brought during the inaugural ceremonies of the Mishkan. So on the first day of Chanukah, we start off Bayim Rishon. Then we finish off Bayim Reb Sheni on the second day. On the second day of Chanukah, we start off Bayim Hasheni. And then in order to make sure we have enough psukim, enough verses to have an aliyah, we move on to Bayim Hashlishi. And so it goes each day of Chanukah. We essentially replicate the original inauguration of the Mishkan. And we have this idea that Chanukah represents the concept of Chanukah Tamizbeach, which is one of the sources for the name of the holiday. So on the eighth day, we start off by Yom HaShmini, but since there's only 8 days of Chanukah, not 12 days of Chanukah, so we continue reading. And we finish off, Zeis Chanukah Samizbeach, this was the inauguration of the Mizbeach, of the altar, B'yem Himoshach Eisai, on the day that it was, so to speak, anointed. Hinei Parsha Zu, Koirin B'yem HaShmini de Chanukah. This is the Torah reading of the eighth day, Hanikra, which is called, in a variety of Torah sources, Zeis Chanukah. So on the last day of Chanukah, the Torah reading begins, Zot Chanukat HaMizbeach. This is the inauguration of the Mizbeach, of the altar. And because we say Zot Chanukat HaMizbeach, this is, even though that was the 12th day, not the eighth day, but it's the last day of Chanukah, it concludes the inaugural process, we say, Zeis, this is Chanukah Samizbeach. V'hine, Shmei Nasi Me'achanukah, Him Keneged, Ches Yimei Hamiluyim, Shehoye B'Chanukah Samishkan. Now, whilst there's no such thing as 12 days, there's 8 days, but there's another 8 days that it corresponds to. And that is when the Mishkan was first established. So the Mishkan was put together and taken apart and put together and taken apart for a full week. On the eighth day, by Yom HaShmini, it was put together and it remained intact. And from that point and onward, the actual services in the Mishkan began. For the first 7 days, Moshe Rabbeinu ministered as the Kohen, wearing a special white garment. Subsequent to that, on the eighth day, Aaron HaKohen began his tenure as the priest, the representative of the Jewish people, before Hashem in the Mishkan. So the 8 days of Chanukah, they're in corollary to 8 days which served as Chanukah HaMishkan. Chanukah HaMishkan is the inauguration of the Mishkan. It's when the Mishkan was established. It's when the Mishkan, if you will, went live or was initiated. So the Mishkan went live, it was initiated. That Mishkan was later dedicated through the various princes, the leaders, the Nesiim of the tribes. And that goes on for the first 12 days of Nisan. But nonetheless, those 8 days in which the Mishkan is put together, taken apart, until on the eighth day, the Mishkan is fully inaugurated. So Chanukah, which is 8 days long, corresponds then to Yom HaShmini, to the 8 days of the Yemei HaMiluyim. As it's understood also, that during the days of Chanukah and through the miracle of Chanukah, there was the rededication of the altar and of the Mikdash, just as there was a dedication or inauguration in the 7 days of installment of Chanukah HaMishkan. So that is to say, the second Beis HaMikdash was spiritually destroyed. The building was intact, but the spirit was totally violated. So much so that the Mizbeach had to be dismantled because they brought swine and all kinds of other things. It was a terrible desecration. And in the second Beis HaMikdash, there was a special room where the stones of the Mizbeach were kept. We didn't want to throw them out because we don't throw out an old Sefer Torah. We don't throw out old Sefarim. We're going as it. You put it away respectfully. But they couldn't use that as a mizbeach. It couldn't be used. So the Mishkan had to be reestablished, rededicated all over again, cleansed from its impurities and rededicated. And therefore, there's this juxtaposition of 7 days of Miluyim, which serve to inaugurate the Mishkan, and 7 days of Chanukah, or 8 days, pardon me, which serves to inaugurate the Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash. Now, with regard to the Shmoinos Yimei HaMiluyim, in which we've created this juxtaposition, we're now moving to the next point. So point one is that there is a clear parallel between the 8 days of dedication of the Mishkan and the 8 days of Chanukah. Once we establish that, now let's move on to point number two. Point number two is that with regard to 8 days, eight is an unusual number. It's not the perfect number. Usually we have 7 days. Work on 6 days, rest on the seventh. The cycles are cycles of seven. Time is comprised of these special cycles of seven that were initiated by none other than God himself, when God created the world. And here we have 8 days. So what does this 8 days mean? What does it represent? So with regard to Shmeinus Shmei HaMiluyim, Yesh Beis Pirushim B'Chassidus. There are two interpretations in the corpus of Hasidic teaching. And I have to warn you that the next few lines are going to be very Kabbalistic. Okay, it's very mystical. But nonetheless, this is the terminology that's used. And I'll try to simplify it to the best of my ability. Pirush Echad, one interpretation, which is found in Likut HaTorah of the Alter Rebbe and Ohr HaTorah of the Tzemach Tzedek. She'inyin ches yamim, that the notion of 8 days, heim zayin yemei ha-maisa, this represents the 7 days of action, meaning the 7 days of creation, Sheheim Zayin Mides, which they are the seven supernal emotional attributes. What's called Zoh Umalchus, in the language of Kabbalah, that's known as Ze'ed Ampin, literally small face, and Malchus, the concept of Hashem's dominion. Or, sometimes in a different terminology, it's called Zayin Midis Sheba Malchus, the seven Midis of Malchus. So very briefly, just to recap something we learned many, many times. In the gestalt of creation, which is the framework, so to speak, of the divine psyche, which is reflected in the soul of a person, there are different intellectual components, three intellectual components, Chachma, Bina, and Das, which we're not going to belabor and talk about now. And then there are seven emotions that follow. And the seven emotions that follow represent the range or the gamut of the way a human being relates to the world around them. There's certain things you're attracted to, certain things you're excited about, certain things you're very reticent or very, very respectful of, or maybe disciplinarian about. That represents Chesed and Gevura, conversely. There are certain things in which there is a marvelous balance of synergy. It's neither Chesed nor Gevura, and that's called Tiferes. And so on and so forth. I'm not going to go through the Zayin Midas now. So the Zayin Midas are represented, of course, by the number seven. Now, inasmuch as they're represented by the number seven, there's something that seeds or leavens or energizes the Zayin Midas. And the question is, where does a person's emotive qualities get their energy from? What motivates emotions? So we say that there is this concept of the Zayin Midas and different terminologies or frameworks of Kabbalah that we could refer to, which I'm not going to explain the difference now. Hamekabla mebechinas Aleph, which they receive from the level of Aleph, which Aleph is the concept of Keser, or is known in mystical jargon or Kabbalistic parlance, Atiko Kadisha. So there's a Kabbalistic man. There you saw it. It's also a metaphoric. It's not literal, Chas v'Shalom, but whatever. It helps us understand things. So let's take it from Pasuk Aliyo. Let's take it from these ancient Kabbalistic documents. We have the idea of Chesed d'ro'i yimina. Chesed represents the right hand. Gevura d'ro'i smala. The left hand is represented by discipline, by Gevura. And then we have Tiferes gufa. We have the torso, or the central fulcrum, which brings them together. That represents the idea of Tiferes. So we have this idea, this notion, that the person, the gestalt of a person's body, the way a person is structured, actually represents a higher mystical spiritual truth. Now there's also the notion of that which goes above the head. The head itself, of course, represents Chachma, Bina, and Das, the three Meichen, or sometimes four Meichen we talk about. And then there's the Keter, then there's the crown, or that which is Koteret, that which surrounds. So this could be euphemistically referred to as a halo, or a crown, or something, you know, something that's overriding, something that encompasses. So this is the notion of Keser. What does Keser mean in our world? If Ahava, or Chesed, or love, or attraction, or excitement, or exuberance, is the idea of Chesed, and Gvur is the idea of discipline, and Gvur is the idea of sometimes a draconian approach, and a very measured approach to things. So Keser represents the willpower that a person has, because if a person wants something very badly, it necessarily changes the way he or she functions. And even further, what ultimately motivates willpower? The answer is tainug, pleasure. We are creatures of pleasure. We are motivated by pleasure. Ask the person, why did he go on vacation? Why did he spend all that money? What will he tell you? I was forced to. I had to. No, he enjoyed doing it. I enjoyed it. And what happened after he enjoyed it? I was happy. And what after you're happy? I just felt good. That's the ultimate and prime mover and shaker. It's the idea of tainug. The idea of tainug is called keser. So keser, the concept of keser, then infuses the midas with mission and meaning. And therefore, that's why I end up with 8 days. We have the 7 midas, which is the range of how I relate to the world around me. And then what motivates that? What dynamism pushes that forward? And the answer is keser. That gives you the number 8. It's 7 and 8. From this perspective, the midas are energized through the concept of keser. Then we have another interpretation of Chassidus, which this is also found in Lakut HaTorah and also found in Eirat HaTorah in different places. And essentially, this is the summation. The Shmeinas Yemei HaMiluyim, that the 7 inaugural days, Pirusham HaHamshacha Mishivas Yoimin Da'atik, this represents drawing forth the source of the Midas, which is called not the Midas as the Aram Malchus, but the Midas as they exist in Keser. There are Midas, there are active Midas, there are Midas the way I actively relate to what's going on around me, and then there's what's called theoretical emotions. Not the actual emotions, the theoretical emotions, the emotions the way they are in my subconsciousness. This is going to excite me. This is going to inhibit me. Not it actually inhibits or excites. So in the language of Chassidus, that which would be is called the 7 Midas as they are found in Atik Yoimin, in higher consciousness, which is called also Zayin Sfiris Da'ak. Shehem Yimei Kedem Hanim Shachim B'Sfiris HaMalchus, which this is the origin of the range of human emotion, which the source or range of human emotion ultimately filters through the prism of Malchus. Malchus is dominion or majesty or kingship or in plain English responsibility. So when does a person begin to function fully? When they're responsible. You want somebody to get the job done? Make it their responsibility. And the best way to activate and animate a person's potential is through responsibility. It's an old favorite trick of teachers. How do they deal with troublemakers? They give them responsibility. You be the monitor. You erase the board. You tell the other kids what to do. That's it. You harness the energy. That energy, that ADD energy, which is all over the place, you just harnessed it. You nipped it in the bud. Instead of it expressing itself through trouble and through mischievous behavior, now it's harnessed. So Malchus is a marvelous method of harnessing things. And Malchus does wonders to us insofar as bringing out our deeper power and ability. So a person would say, Malchus? I'm not a king. What kind of Malchus? I understand I have chesed. I understand I have gvura. There are things I like, things I don't. There are times when I live loose and free, times that I'm very, very disciplined. But Malchus? Who's a royal? And the answer is wrong. Malchus means when you take responsibility, just like a king takes responsibility for the constituency, for the citizenry, for the country, you take responsibility for whatever it may be, for whomever it may be. And the most powerful way for a person to animate and activate their potential is Malchus. Take responsibility. So now we have the idea of the Zayin Midas as they exist in a lofty plane. And then how do we actualize the Zayin Midas? How do we bring them forth in the fullest, most healthy and fulfilling way? Answer is Malchus. So that's eight. Because I have Zion Midas. I have Zion. I have seven potential arenas of self-expression and creativity. And then I have Malchus, which animates, activates, and brings it forth. And that's the idea of the eight. So these are the two Pirushim. These are the two interpretations or explanations with regard to the Shiva Simei HaMiluyim. Now the Rebbe says, this is why V'lechein Nikra Yeim HaShmini Zeis Chanukah. This explains why this eighth day is called Zeis Chanukah. Because Zeis, he Malchus Kenoida. Zeis, the terminology Zeis, represents Malchus, which is beyond the purview of the next few minutes. But that's how it is. The terminology of Zot, though this is, that's Malchus. Kimavur b'Zor b'Kavam Kemis, like to explain the Zor in numerous places. V'hine. With regard to the 8 days of Miluyim, the 8 days of inauguration during which the Mishkan was put up and then taken down and ultimately established and inaugurated, there is no conclusion drawn which is the correct way of understanding the Shmoinis Shmei HaMiluyim, what the 8 days of inauguration. There is no correct, so to speak, conclusion. Vishneim huva b'shava. Both are brought equally. Both ideas are found within the parlance of Chassidus. Amnam v'nigeya l'ches yimei Chanukah. With regard to 8 days of Chanukah, yesh leimar sha'hechre hu kepirush ha'beizanah. A big chiddush from the Rebbe. That even though we have these two concepts that are discussed in Chassidus with regard to the eighth day or the 8 days of inauguration of the original Mishkan, and they're both different interpretations. One that the Zion Malcho, the Zion Midas, are energized and seated by their potential, by Keser. The other is that we talk of the Zion Midas in their potential state, the way they filter through the prism of Malchus, is a polar opposite approach. The number eight, or the different outside the seven, either is infusing the rest of the Midas, or the rest of the Midas are infusing it. Big difference. So with regard to the Shiva Shema HaMiluyim, what is the correct mystical approach? We don't have any kind of conclusion. But the Rebbe suggests that when it comes to Chanukah, there is a conclusion. Kidemuchach milshein admurat tzemach tzedek, as seems conclusive from the terminology or verbiage employed by the third Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek. V'lochein nikra yeim hashmini, that's why yeim hashmini is called, the eighth day of Chanukah's nickname is called Zos Chanukah. Zos Chanukah Samishkom is Beach. Why? Because Zos is Malchus. The terminology Zot represents Malchus. And the Yom HaShmini, the eighth day HaNikra, Zot Chanukah, is the Yom HaShmini of Chanukah. Not the eighth day of Yimiluim. It's not called Zot Chanukah. The terminology Zot Chanukah specifically applies to the eighth day of Chanukah. That's what the terminology is employed and it's used. V'hainu, that is to say then, Shamaskonahi, that the conclusion here of the various discussions and the various analyses of different details within the writings of Chassidus, the conclusion is that Zayin Yemei HaChanukah, that the 8 days of Chanukah, represents Zayin Sfiris Ta'atika Kadisha. It represents the Midas as they exist in a potential or latent state. V'ayoyim HaChess, and the 8th day of Chanukah, which of course will be this Matzah Shabbos, when we light the 8th flame, the whole menorah is illuminated. In Yonehu Sfiris HaMalchus, the 8th day represents Malchus animated, Malchus activated. Shebonim Shochim, that Malchus animated and activated means that through it filters the prism of Kol HaSfiris, of all of the different emotional, the whole range, all the possibilities filter through the 8th day, which is called the Sfiris of Atika Kaddish. So this is very interesting. So, whole mystical description, and we have all this Kabbalistic terminology. What does it mean to me? What does it mean to me? How does it talk to me? What does that have to do with my life if you use this kind of spiritual plumbing or that kind of spiritual composition? What difference does it make? So just terminology. This particular maimer, I remember when the Rebbe said this maimer, it was like the place turned over. The Rebbe said he's now going to explain what this mystical concept means on a practical level. What does the Eibishter want from us? What does it mean? What does it mean for us? What does it mean in what's called Avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem is the arena of endeavor in trying to make the world a better place, trying to serve God, which is essentially the arena we're supposed to be in all the time. That's the area in play. We're supposed to be doing Avodas Hashem. That's what we came here for. Everything else, all other rivers lead, all tributaries leading to that central idea. The central focus, the mission, the purpose of creation and of humanity, and specifically of us, is the concept of Avodas Hashem. So what does this mean in Avodas Hashem? Hine. Ze ma shahayim hashmini de Chanukah remez l'sfidus ha-malchus. This is the notion that the eighth day of Chanukah, the final climatic conclusion of Chanukah, represents Malchus. What does it mean in Avodas Adam? What does it mean insofar as informing and instructing and guiding our service to Hashem? What does it mean to us? It means, it refers to Hu Inyan HaMaisa, the concept of action, which in human endeavor, a very wide range of human endeavor, human creativity, there's cerebral activity, there's emotive activity, there's functional activity, but all of this does not have to be practical activity. And then there's action, and action is the final stage. From the idea phase, the creative phase, moving into the pragmatic phase, getting energized to do something until it's finally done. Das. That's action. Huh?
Das.
Das? Das.
Das. Sorry.
No, not das. None. Why? Because das is the way that exists on a theoretical plane. Das is a conclusion, correct? I'm not sure. I look at it one way, look the other way. I'm not sure. What do I feel? What is my decision? Das. Das is my opinion about something. That's true. But it's still not action. You could have people, they give opinions, especially Jewish people. Oh, do they have opinions? How about getting something done? Well, let's talk again. And some people talk and talk, and they talk. Boy, can they talk. What happens as a result? Nothing. So the issue, the question here is, can we make something happen? What will actually happen? That's Maaser. Dari kol inyanei ha'adam ha'tachtein. Everything about us, people, terrestrial people, creatures who live in this world, everything about us is ultimately nishtalshelu me'ha'adam ha'alyon. We are but a reflection of a higher, deeper, and true reality. So everything that we have is because it's like that on a spiritual level. If we have moods, it's because there's moods on a higher level. If we have likes or dislikes, that has to exist on a higher plane. If we have action or the lack thereof, that has to exist on a higher plane. We have hands because there's something called hands on a higher plane. We have a head because there's something called a head on a higher plane. Don't superimpose it backwards. Say, okay, therefore God has a hand or a foot, chas v'shalom. Obviously, those are anthropomorphisms and not to be taken literally, God forbid. Chas v'shalom. We do not create any kind of literal iteration or incarnation, heaven forfend, for God. But there is a concept, these ideas exist conceptually, and conceptually they play themselves out or they express themselves in the world of action as we exist, in the manner that we are. So that doesn't mean that the sum total of all the spiritual realities, which boils into the physical reality, that means that the physical reality exists on high. It means that everything here reflects a higher truth. Kemaimer, like the expression goes, shenishtalshelu mehen. It's all nishtalshel. It all comes, it all filters through. Everything comes from one level to the next. Everything as it exists on a conceptual, theoretical plane, then exists on an emotive plane. From an emotive plane, it filters through to a functional plane. From a functional plane, it filters through into action. And oftentimes, from the things that people do, you can go and figure out what they were really thinking. Well, you can go backwards. And that's what psychology does. Analyzes what's apparent to try to discover what's not so apparent, because it had to come from somewhere. So a person said something. Why did you say that? He says, I have no idea why I said it. Well, it didn't come out of nowhere. Let's understand what was really going on here. Just like Sfiris HaMalchus, when we talk about this in the spiritual structure or gestalt of the Adam HaElyon, the supernal human, if you will, so all euphemism. Not to be taken literally, God forbid. So the lowest level is Malchus. Malchus is Sfira Achitachteinu. Kimoiken ishtal shel gamba adamatacht. And so it is also in the lower person, meaning us, the keach ha'asiya, that the power of action, the power of doing things, bechinas ha'malchus sheba adam hatachten, the level of malchus in adam hatachten, hu koyach hachi tachten shebay. The lowest, if you will, power or ability, is the power or ability to act, to do things. As people can say, anybody can do that. Anybody can flick a switch. Anybody can walk, talk, or I shouldn't, talk is not a good example, move their hands. Anybody could have done that. Yeah, anybody could do it. It doesn't require great profundity. It doesn't require great skill. It doesn't require great contemplation. It doesn't require great emotive involvement. There's no kavana. Anybody could do that. I want to talk about the inner person being harnessed and engaged. Well, that's another story. Some people have not much of an inner person. They're very superficial or shallow. Some people are very deep, very profound. But action is essentially equal with everybody. When it comes to doing mitzvahs, from the greatest, most profound Rebbe or Rebbetzin to the most ordinary person, action is action. You ate the matzah or you didn't eat the matzah. You lit the Hanukkah lamp or you didn't light it. You lit the Shabbat candles or you didn't light it. That's very simple. You gave the buck into the poor person's hand or you didn't give the dollar. That's the question. It's very basic. Just like in Sfiris HaMalchus, Nimshach HaZayin Sfiris Da'atika Kadisha, this is when the whole range of emotional possibilities on a higher realm become animated and activated through the prism of Malchus. Al derech zeh gam b'avedas adam. So is also in our Aveda. Asher HaMaisa Hu HaIker. The deed is our Jewish creed. It's all about the deed. So in the end, from all the contemplation, and all the ideas and all the theories, the question becomes one and one only. Did you do it? Did you do it? Because the maisa is the main thing. V'tam adavar sha'maisa o'ikir. Why is maisa the main thing? If maisa is, after all, the lowest, it's a maisa achita, koyach achitachten. It's the lowest level of possibility. It's the lowest realm. So why is that the main thing? I say to the person, but did you put on a tefillin? He says, I meditated. I studied. I experienced inner transformation. So I didn't wrap some leather straps. Get with the program. Did you light your menorah? Light the menorah. A monkey could light a menorah. I meditated. I ruminated. I illuminated my soul. I was exploding with light. I became a higher, loftier, deeper. So what are you hacking me in China? Can you light the menorah or not? So what, light the menorah? A robot could light the menorah. I'm telling you about the inner transformation. Sorry. The main thing is the deed. Did you light it or not? You got to light up. So you have to mice as a ikir. Why is this? Like it's explained in many places of mashal. Kishetzichim lagbia. We didn't get a main, don't worry. Kishetzichim lagbia is a davar min ha'aretz. You want to lift something up. Tzichim lech is b'chalokim hatachtonim. You want to lift something. How do you lift it? You got to go from below. K'moyag bas kesh la'abayis. If a person wants to lift a home, you want to move a structure, you got to get down to the foundations. If you want to lift it, you have to lift it from the bottom. If you lift the foundations, the top will lift too. But if you insert your lever in the middle of the wall, you won't elevate the bottom. Even more so, as explained in the Drush of Rosh Hashanah of Lekutotei Dal Tarebi, here first Dal Tarebi is Maimer Avatim Mitzavim. She move, and over there it's understood, She maschel me'emtza keisel me'emtza binyan. If you begin to lift a building, but you start by inserting your levers in the middle of the building, in the lezo bovad shechoser bagba tachteinim. Not only you're not elevating the bottom, elegam bagba salyenim ayuchoser. You wouldn't elevate the top either, because when you lift up the top, since you're only lifting it from the middle, you're losing the whole bottom. The only way the top is a top is because there's a bottom. If you leave the bottom behind, your top becomes a bottom. In other words, the lifting is not a lifting. So, when you lift it from its lowest level, not only do you lift the lowest level, even on the higher levels, they too have an added elevation or an added height. From this is a metaphor to explain to us also the idea of koyach hamaisa, the power of action. Shehu koyach achi tachten, it's the lowest power. Shehu ha'ikir, that's the main thing. V'dafka al yodai, ef shalifal aliyah v'agbo b'chal hakechus. You want to change a person? How do you change him? Change the way he acts. If you change how he acts, eventually the whole person will change. This idea was advanced by our sages literally thousands of years ago. The Mishnah says. The Rambam says, if you want to become charitable, then be charitable. The more often you give tzedakah, the more you'll start to eventually become charitable. Today, what does modern psychology say?
It's cognitive psychology.
Cognitive psychology. It's about conditioning. Do it, do it, do it. The more you do it, it becomes second nature. It becomes a part of you. This is a Torah truth. A Torah truth that we had thousands of years ago. That the psychologist finally figured out. And this is the mystical spiritual idea of Maisa. The Torah wants to elevate a person, want to change the world. The only way to change the whole world is to go from the very bottom. The lever has to be inserted on the bottom. And once you can get yourself beneath the bottom, which is the idea of Maisa, eventually the entire structure can be elevated. But the focus has to be not halfway through the structure, but under the very foundations. And the very foundations and underpinnings of life itself, action. And this is the eighth day of Hanukkah. You see, for all the days of Hanukkah, we celebrate potential. There's potential. The potential of great things. Beis Shammai says, on the first day of Hanukkah, we light up the whole menorah. Why? Because we celebrate potential. Beis Hillel says, no. We can't celebrate the potential of days left to come. We have to celebrate what we actually have in hand. On the first night, what do we have? The first night of Hanukkah, we can light one flame. On the last night of Hanukkah, what do we have? We have the entirety of Hanukkah with us. We've been enriched. All 8 days have been experienced. All 8 days have been lived in, so to speak, have now been acquired. A person says, Hanukkah's over. What do you mean Hanukkah's over? Now you have Hanukkah. Hanukkah, Tavshan Ayin Zayin, we don't have it yet. Because today is only the sixth day of Hanukkah. You know when we'll have Hanukkah, Tavshan Ayin Zayin, in the bag? You know when we'll be able to move forward in the rest of the year with the energy of Hanukkah? On Matzah Shabbos, on Saturday night, on Sunday. Why? Because that's the eighth day. That's the concluding. That's when all of the potential has been actualized. And therefore, the message of the eighth day of Hanukkah is, just do it. Just do it. And if we just do it, hopefully, the Eberster will just do it. And finally, Mashiach will come, not in theory, the rest of the Maimer, fascinating Maimer, talks about the idea of theoretical redemption, theoretical revelation, through the concept of Mashiach, through teachings, and then the idea of action. The bottom line is what we want, is Olam HaMaisa. We want, so to speak, the real thing, the tangible reality to shift, and that's brought about through our tangible, concrete actions. As they say, not in the abstract, but in the concrete. And it's in our hands. If we do this, we animate and activate the reality of the future redemption through Mashiach, b'mheira, will be Amenu, Amen.
Amen.